I think I lost some more weight the last couple of days. That's all right. So this morning, I want to start with explaining a little bit how this week went. I sense God was really, really working, I believe. I feel that. I still feel it. I felt it. So when Thursday comes around and I'm supposed to preach and nothing is forthcoming, I start getting a little bit concerned. And Thursday morning, it was just nothing there. I would search and read, and Thursday morning came, and I just told Mabel that, you know, there is such a thing. I'm more of a topical person, it seems like. Ever since Charles Hamilton had those messages, that leadership on expository preaching, I think more about it. I think it's a good thing. He would say that's needful very much, and I do too, but it just made me aware that I'm not so much that way. Even though I've gone through books, and it's interesting, but I'm still more of a topical. And so I just told Mabel that I think that was Thursday morning, I think it was, and I think I'll have to just preach expositorially on the chapter that we have Sunday. And I was going to call Melvin Thursday, thought of it again Thursday afternoon, and I didn't, because it kept going crossing my mind that, well, Melvin's going to, he will pass it on once he gets it. But I thought about pressuring him to get it because I wanted to start studying. But I didn't. And Thursday night, Friday morning, I woke up a little after 2, and it was a couple hours I couldn't sleep. And just thought and thought. And there's other things that, so I just thought and prayed, and I ended up getting up, and I have to call Melvin. I went to work. I was working alone that day at the Bender job, and just a lot of time to think. I wasn't working hard. I was just putting nail holes and stuff like that. And again, it crossed my mind, well, Melvin's going to pass it on when he gets it. And then his text comes. And you can just imagine what I went through. What now? So I was going to call Leon. And it wasn't long, Leon called me. And, you know, we had these thoughts. What are we going to do? We had nothing to do with it. And Michael, I know you struggle with it after, you know, you talk with you or whatever. Some of them did. But I would say don't struggle with that. This was not planned at all. And with the way God led this whole thing in my mind, I just couldn't get away from it. And pray for me. I did nothing yesterday except study. And I've studied this chapter for the last 25 years much, very much, because of what we faced over the years. We had to, so to speak, leave friends because of this chapter. So pray for me. I believe God has something in this that I told Mabel yesterday morning. There's something that we don't know yet. God has in this. I feel that fairly strongly. God has something in this that we don't see yet. I know we all believe that the devil comes as an angel of light. I believe probably more today than ever before. And what we need is wisdom from above to be able, by the grace of God, to distinguish between the genuine and the counterfeit. We live in a day where that's way more prevalent, I believe, than ever before. We need that. By the grace of God, we need to distinguish. That's also a gift to discern between what is genuine and what is counterfeit. The spiritual discernment is perhaps the greatest of all the gifts, the most needed today, and one for which we ought daily to pray for. We need to pray for that. To have discernment with what's out there today and what is counterfeit. So I have a fair amount of things that I want us all to consider. Consider as we go through this. And don't forget what I mean by considering. Don't forget. Just things that I think we need not dare not forget. The Bible speaks for itself. I just, as I was studying this, I just had to think of, was it Paul Shirk? I think it was Paul Shirk was his name. He had topics at the Mendon Ministers meeting on about the Bible speaking for itself and that it is its own witness. And I just never will forget how I felt after that message. I got goosebumps. I got them now. And when that was over with, I looked at James Miller and I said, that was powerful. It was so powerful. And he didn't say anything. He's just this calm speaker. But it was so powerful because the Word of God, the way he brought it out, was just spoke for itself. It's its own witness. It was just really beautiful. So we need to consider some things here. To speak in tongues, as Leon said, is to speak in a language. Just see, all these years, I used to read Protestant books, many, many, even before, way before I was born again. I read a lot of books, and I delved into Protestant literature. And we can go into the Bible with preconceived ideas, and I came out wrong. If we can get away from that and let the Bible speak for itself. So to speak in tongues, if you take those tongues to the Greek meaning, every one of them says a language. It's to speak a language. As followers of Jesus, I think we should consider that nowhere in the Bible do we read that Jesus spoke to God the Father in a way that the people couldn't understand what he was saying. So thankful for John 17. It's probably the longest prayer recorded that Jesus prayed. We are thankful that we know today what he prayed. Just a thought I had. I would like to, for us to consider that churches that follow this Protestant Pentecostal way of blabbering tongues doctrine are teaching that unless you do this, you don't have the Holy Spirit. See, that's just another thing to consider. That's what the ones that are pushing this, that's what they teach. This, I believe, is contrary to the Word of God. I choose not to mention those churches in public as we teach this, but if you want to ask me, I'm willing in private to tell you who they are. But to say that unless you do this, blabbering or syllables that you don't even know what you're saying, that unless you do that, you don't have the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, very familiar scriptures to us all, verse 28 says, "And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues." Then in 29 he says, "Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers?" These all have question marks behind them. "Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." What Paul is saying, we don't all have those gifts. We don't all have the same gifts. We don't all have the tongues, the gift of tongues, of languages. I wish I had more. Wish so much I could speak Spanish. So God is saying not all have the gift of tongues. Another thing to consider, which probably to me over the years is is maybe the clearest thing to me is the context of the chapter that we have today. The context through there, and I want you to go through with me in the Bible on 1 Corinthians 14. The context with the unknown tongue, first of all, that word unknown was not in the original text. It was added, but it's just bringing out that the listeners, the hearers, weren't understanding. The context is the listeners not understanding what is being said. The listeners, the hearers. That's the context of this chapter. That's something that I think we need to be very clear on. So let's just, in the beginning here, I want to go through just quickly. I need to, because of what we have here, I know I have too much here, but I believe it's a very critical time that we face here. And we want to do this in all humility, with the grace of God, to go through this. In verse 5, it says, except he interpret. Except he interpret. That is, the context is the listener. Okay? That's the context. Unless they interpret, the context is the listener. Verse 6, what shall I profit you? The context is the listener. Verse 7, things without life-giving sound, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? The context is the hearer, the listener. Verse 8, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? The context is the listener, the person that is hearing what I'm saying. Verse 9, so likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. The context is the listener. Verse 11, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. The context is the listener not understanding what is being said. Verse 12. Don't have that one here. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. The context is the listener. Verse 13. Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown language pray that he may interpret. Context is the listener. Verse 14, it says, my understanding is unfruitful. That is one of the chapters, that's a verse that I've faced the most in this, where people stand on my understanding is unfruitful, saying that I don't know what I'm saying. He just got done saying my understanding is unfruitful. He didn't say my lack of understanding. I just don't understand why you can take that out of that. So he said, my understanding is unfruitful. Now in the German, it says, aber mein Sinn bringt niemand Frucht. What he's saying, mein Sinn, S-I-N-N, in German, S-I-N-N is my understanding. Mein Sinn, understanding is S-I-N-N. For those that, it's not talking about sin, but my sin in German, S-I-N-N, is understanding. That's your intellect or whatever. Aber mein understanding, my sin, bringt niemand Frucht. That's saying it's not producing fruit from others. Brink niemand, that's others. It's not producing fruit from others because they're not understanding what I'm saying. So he said, my understanding is unfruitful. It doesn't produce fruit from the people who hear me pray. The context, again, is the listener. verse 15 and 16. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. We're going to be talking about that more later. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. I would like some input. I have some questions, not a lot, but I would like some input. So this morning, just for you to keep in mind also, this morning, did we pray in the Spirit? When we pray, Paul prayed and Josh prayed. So did we pray in the Spirit? Yes. We also pray with understanding, right? There's no division there. Did we sing with the Spirit? These are lowercase spirits. And we'll get into that in depth later. I will sing with the Spirit. We sang with the Spirit. Truly believe we did. I will sing with the understanding also. Others listening, others hearing. The context is still the listener. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? Context is the listener, the hearer. That's the context. Verse 23, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you're a man? It's the listeners, it's the hearers, the context. Verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. Again, the listener. So, just things to consider as we go through here. One thing that I would like to bring out, and some of you have heard this, I believe, maybe all of you, I'm not sure. I wasn't going to say this. Maybe I said it in another message too, but just be aware what's out there. What I've seen right here in Bloomington, so to speak, I believe it's directly connected. You can have your own opinion on if this is connected or not. I fully believe it is. And I might have said this before, but I take my hydraulic cylinders to ISSI, and you might too. And I just happen to know him somewhat better because of his brother. I've hired his brother to do work for us. So we have that connection somehow. It's his brother. And so we talk when I come in there. And I came in there. This was probably, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago already. And I noticed he was very troubled. He was very troubled. And I asked him about it. And he said his son committed suicide. I was just shocked. He was a young man. And he said what he can't figure out is he was in drugs. He was a wild man. And he found the Lord. And I just can't figure it out. And as an afterthought behind, he said, he was even into speaking in tongues. He said it as, I can't figure out. He was so spiritual that he even spoke in tongues. Now we're talking blabbering. It wasn't a language. The Pentecostal thing. He was into that. So this just, in his mind, made it even, why? Why did he get so depressed? That's the reason he did. I believe that. Here's what the Pentecostals put out there. This is from them. Expect to encounter additional spiritual conflict. The new power received from the Spirit is meant to be put to action. Any increase of God's power produces increased opposition from Satan. You will discover that embarking in the spiritual realm positively exposes new forms of satanic attack and oppression. Strange, unexplained moods of fear or depression may attack your mind. Moral and spiritual temptations never before experienced will taunt you. Unless you are forewarned and prepared to defend yourself against such demonic attacks, you could be overcome by the enemy and sink lower spiritually than before receiving your spiritual rebirth. They know that, but they don't equate it to where it should be put. That is from them. And I believe that's what happens. Remember that whenever God talks about tongues in His Word, let's just remember, He's talking about language, not a row of syllables that have no distinction. But it makes me lightheaded to think that they see that. And I think that's what happened to this guy's son. He wasn't prepared. Is it true, according to God's word, that once you have the Spirit of God, you will experience strange, unexplained moods of fear and depression? Is that scriptural? It's not. It's not true at all. That you will experience moral and spiritual temptations never before experienced. The Spirit of God, God's grace, has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and to live righteously, soberly in this present world. That's what the Spirit of God does. Now, to get into this chapter, chapter 14. Verse 2. The word speaketh, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in a spirit he speaketh mysteries. One of the brothers, I'd just like to bring it out, to say that there's a mysterious language. I just want you to keep this in mind. That is not a spiritual phrase, a scriptural phrase. The Bible doesn't talk about a mysterious language. It says he speaketh mysteries. Think about that. We're going to in depth try to explain that. Speaking mysteries. The speaketh is number 2980 in Strong. It means to talk, utter words, preach, say, tell. The word speaketh or speak come up 21 times in this chapter. They all have the same Greek definition. It means to talk, utter words, preach, say, tell. So in verse 2, we have the word mysteries. He speaketh mysteries. That is 3466. This is so exciting to me. It is. The word mysteries, what does that mean? What is he talking about? He speaketh mysteries. It means to shut the mouth, a secret, through the idea of silence. Now keep that in mind. Through the idea of silence, what was he speaking? Matthew 13:10 says, the disciples came and said unto him, Jesus, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries. The word mystery or mysteries does not come up in the Old Testament. This is New Covenant. The mysteries that were hidden for ages and generations, which is now made manifest to God's people. The mysteries, he speaketh mysteries. It doesn't say it's a mysterious language. He was speaking mysteries, okay? That 3466, every one of the mysteries or mysteries in the Bible Every one of them has the same definition: to shut the mouth. A secret through the idea of silence. And Jesus came to reveal them. And so bear with me. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Same definition. Remember, everyone has the same definition. The words mystery and mysteries are found 27 times in the New Testament, none in the Old. They all have the same Greek definition: to shut the mouth, a secret through the idea of silence. This is not some mystical, unintelligible row of syllables that no one understands. He was speaking mysteries. Romans 11, 20 to 25. Well, Romans 11. I think we should all go there if you can. Romans 11, verse 20. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, speaking about Israel, take heed lest he also spare not you, thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. Severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Verse 23, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. This is part of the mystery. That's part of the mysteries that he was talking about. Lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. When the Bible talks about the mystery or mysteries, it is talking about the things that were hidden. Go with me to Colossians 1. Verse 21. Colossians 1. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Gentiles, think about this whole thing. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He was speaking these mysteries. That's what he was doing in chapter 14. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. All these mysteries that you find in the New Testament or in the Bible have the same definition. Remember that. Verse 26, where it says, even the mystery. Just remember, all the mysteries have the same definition. It's the things that were hidden up until the time that Christ came and are revealed now, and the apostles, the disciples, are preaching these mysteries. They're speaking them. Praise the Lord. God sent His Son into the world to reveal these mysteries. You and I as Gentiles can be saved through faith. These mysteries are made manifest to His saints. Christ in you, the hope of glory. In verse 27, the glory of this mystery. It's just really, really something. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 2, very special scriptures. I just remember, so I've said this before, so many years ago now already, when I was reading this, and you know, as a little boy, I would preach. We would have church at home, and I would be the preacher, and I could quote whole verses in, because I heard them so many times, and well, I had no clue what I was saying, and this is one of them. It's where was kein Auge gesehen hat, man kein Ohr gehört hat, hat und in keines Menschen Herz gekommen ist, was Gott bereitet hat, denen die ihn lieben. That's verse 9. It's, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. The next verse was never quoted, and it is in bold print in my Bible. This type of a Bible is used very much in the Old Lord Amish Church. So the scriptures that are quoted frequently are in bolder print. So the first part of verse 10 is also in bold print, but I can never remember hearing it. Uns aber hat es Gott offenbart durch seinen Geist. It was always preached that this is talking about the mansions in heaven. I have not seen, neither ear heard. You don't hear about well, you can, neither have entered into the heart of man. The mansions don't enter into the heart of man. I was reading this. It's not talking about that. It's not talking about the mansions in heaven. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's beautiful. I just want to start what I have here. I believe what God gave me, these thoughts. So I have one. I know it takes time, but verse 1. I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. The new covenant was a mystery. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. The revelation of the mystery, but now is made manifest. Verse 26, Romans 16. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Beautiful scriptures. Verse 25, the mystery which was kept secret. Same definition, 34:66. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 50, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Don't we look forward to that day? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory over through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This is the mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. These were things that they had not ever heard before. They were revealing these things. That's what he was speaking, mysteries. Whenever the Bible speaks about mysteries or a mystery, it is talking about something that God's people know and unbelievers don't. Ephesians 3, verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Think about it. We are them. And of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, let's go to verse 2 again in 1 Corinthians 14. In the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Spirit is 4151. This is what that means. A current of air, to breathe hard. A human spirit, the rational soul, vital principle, mental disposition, Christ's spirit, the Holy Spirit. In the Spirit, he says, need to go there. Verse 2, still there. In the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. So, speaketh means 2980, I said to that before, to talk, utter words, preach, say, tell. The mysteries, to shut the mouth, a secret through the idea of silence. So let's put that all together if we can. So this preacher, in verse 2, with his spirit, in connection with the Spirit of God, is speaking about the hidden things of God that reveal at the coming of Christ. That's what that is telling us. The context here is other people hearing. Romans 8:15, there you have it, talks about the spirit of bondage and the spirit of adoption in the same chapter. The one is low case. The first spirit of bondage is low case. Spirit of adoption is God's spirit, is capitalized. So in this chapter, it's low case. It's our spirit connected with God's spirit speaking the mysteries. And Romans 8:16, again, two spirits there. One is capitalized, one is not. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It need not be confusing that there's anything special going on here besides a supernatural connection, because we are God's children. His spirit connected with our spirit speaking mysteries. It's a context is still other people not understanding my language. Now let's go on to verse 2. Here's a quote from Adam Clark's. Now I don't use commentaries very little, but I have an Adam Clark's commentary. Here's what he says. I hesitate to use commentaries, but I've yet to find a commentary, if you go from 1900 earlier, that would support the Pentecostal view of 1 Corinthians 14. It's not there. Here's a quote from Adam Clark's. Though his mind apprehends the mysteries contained in the words which he reads or utters, but if by the Spirit we understand the Spirit of God, it only shows that it is by that Spirit that he is enabled to speak and apprehend these mysteries. That's Adam Clark's comment on that scripture. So in verse 3, it says, he that prophesieth. That is 4395. It means to speak under inspiration. Some of you are getting sleepy, and that bothers me. Should we sing or not? Or I have quite a bit yet, but well, we're getting close. But bear with me. This is very important. I just there's a depth here and a concern here that we need to grasp this. And it sounds like maybe I think I have it all figured out. I just want the Word of God to teach me. That's all I want. So in verse 3, he that prophesied, that means to speak under inspiration. Verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So I'd like to have an answer from you. Why was the church edified in that verse? Right, but prophecies to speak under inspiration, why were they edified? They understood what was being said. Now just look right above that. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Why did it edify himself? He understood what he said. And you can't take one way and one the other way in the same verse. It's just not how you say to the Bible. There is no edification if you don't understand. It's not possible. You know, we want to study that edification. It's just pretty exciting here. With me as a builder, it's just somehow... They both have the same meaning, of course. Edification and edifieth, we find them both there. Of course, they have the same meaning. It goes from 36:18 to 36:19, but they connect. If you read your definitions, then it'll take you, let's say, 36:18 from 36:19. So 36:18 and 36:19 are connected. So it means architecture, a structure, confirmation, building. To be a house builder, construct, confirm. That's what edification means. That's what edifieth means. Okay? So we're the structure. We're the body. The context is others hearing. If you don't understand, there is nothing like that. It builds it up. Edification is building. It's to be a house builder. So if I come to you with words from the Word of God, easily be understood, this is edification. So why did it edify the church? We know why it did, because he understood what was being said. That's what he's bringing out. So edifieth himself means the same thing. He understood what he was saying. That's why he was building himself up. Edification is the house builder. You and I as a structure are built up, confirmed, made stronger because of edification. If I would speak to God without knowing what I am saying, there would be no edification. It would be like building a house. It would like a house builder trying to build a house without material. Think about that. That's what this is bringing out. Edification is what builds us up. That's what he is striving for through this whole chapter. They were speaking in a language that the others weren't understanding. Stop it. It's not edifying anybody. That's what he's bringing out. Then in verse 5 it says, except he interpret. What is an interpreter? An interpreter is someone that knows two languages. Now, Jeremy, I thought of you. It's okay if I use you, right? And you wanted to speak to one of the little children, be it maybe you wanted to speak with the twins. They don't know English. I know yours and theirs. So I could interpret for you. That's what an interpreter is. But the Pentecostals have made it to where an interpreter is someone that takes blabbering and explains to other people what they just said. It's not what it's bringing out at all. An interpreter is someone that knows two languages and is translating from one to the other. That's an interpreter. That's what this means. Look it up. Except he interpret. Verse 5. I would that you all speak with tongue, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with languages, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. It's beautiful. Verse 14. Let's just read through here, just to kind of again affirm and confirm that the context is other people. So let's start in verse 7. Even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is pipe or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. He that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. I explained that. My understanding is bringing no fruit from anyone. Now, just in my own mind, to bring more clarity where he said, but my understanding is unfruitful. To say that is saying, I don't understand what I'm saying. I can't connect with that because he said his understanding is unfruitful. If you take that, you go down, where is that? in verse 19, yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding. What does that mean to you? Again, he said, my understanding. Is he saying he understands it? Or is he saying he doesn't understand it? In verse 19. It's very clearly. He said, yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding. Now, I don't think anybody could dispute that. Why is that my understanding different than up here? It's not. Not at all. But my understanding is unfruitful. Mine sin bringt niemand fruit. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. And we experienced that this morning. We experience it whenever. Even when we're praying, singing and praying at home. Don't divide, pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. It's connected, clearly connected. It's not separated at all. That we connected our spirit in relation to the Spirit of God brings understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing with the understanding also. Else, clearly connecting verse 16 with 15. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned say amen at giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than they all. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in a language that other people don't know. That's what he's saying. Then 22, also very clear. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe. Tongues are for a sign to those that don't believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. I'd like to say some about verse 28. But if there be no interpreter, if no one's present to translate one language to the language that the people that are here that are listening, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. So now, that word speak there is the same as the definition I've given you, 2980. How do you speak to yourself? Let him speak to himself. That scripture is also taken as he does not know what he's saying. It's not that at all. 2980 means to talk, utter words, preach, say, tell. It's not unintelligible at all. Do these things here, I'm still edified, and God understands, I'm still edified because I'm understanding what I'm saying. There is no edification unless that's present. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So thankful that some of the brothers have more of a gift of tongues than I do to be able to have a Spanish lesson today. That's a blessing. And Paul said in his chapter, he said, forbid not. He's had to think of that. And I believe we're not forbidding. You know, we're not forbidding. The brothers are over there. I guess they are, right? Having a Spanish message. Forbidden. Let's not forbid that. That's the language they know. And if someone in our congregation can do that, praise the Lord. That's all I have. And we'll ask testimony, share what you have. And then we'll have a prayer and a song. And then testimony sharing.